You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Welcome into the end times. There are no more baseball games for the White Sox to play in 2022, and we will be here until late February until baseball is played. So it is going to be a very, very long time on the hot stove talking about what might and might not happen with your Chicago White Sox. With you as always is the full CHGO White Sox crew. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean underscore W underscore Anderson. Below me is Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And to the left of me is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at Ecknerwall 23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. It really feels like a Brady Bunch situation, gentlemen, with this whole remote setup today.
And so who does that make each of us?
I would be Carol Brady.
I'll be Marcia. I'll be Marcia.
Are you going by actual location on the screen, Herb?
I think is that so. What I think, doing? Yeah, I think Carol was on the side that
don't
I am.
You have the kids on each of the three sides here, and then you got the two parents, you know, up at the top in the middle. And then, you know, Paul Lind in the middle for Hollywood Squares, of course.
Absolutely. And X gets the square. I think I'll be Marcia. I'll do my own stunts. I'll get hit in the face with a football. It'll be great. It'll be a fun time. Let's talk about our beloved White Sox. A lot to talk about. We had a big episode yesterday. We talked to Robert Murray of FanSided about some possible managers. We chatted with Vinny. And then, Vinny, you stepped outside to the World Series Monument. And then there's a giant sign there that says if Abreu leaves, so do I. That was a really great picture that you snapped. That's up on your Twitter at Vinny Duber.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people can empathize, right? I think a lot of people could probably feel pretty similarly. I don't know if it's going to mean they're going to go walk up to Guaranteed Rate Field and hand in their fan card if Jose Abreu is playing for another team, but I think the point was certainly delivered, which is how much that this guy has meant not only to this team but to this fan base over the last, I mean, guys, it's been a decade. Or certainly the better part of a decade. So it'll be weird if there's a White Sox team in 2023 without Jose Abreu on it. And I think, that was a pretty good piece of evidence sitting right there after the sun went down last night on the season finale.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, good news for White Sox fans. If he ends up leaving the South Side, you play all 29 teams. So Jose Abreu will come back at some point. Maybe not. It's not always a home and home, right?
It's not a home and home, but
okay. So you might not see him at the G rate, but you'll see him at some point this year or next year.
If it's an American League team, I believe there are at least some possibilities of Jose Abreu coming back next year. I'm expecting the same with the National League teams. If he goes to the San Diego Padres, I know the last series of the year is at home versus the Padres.
Is that a hope there? You're hoping that he's going to be going to the Padres?
I mean, they could use him.
He could also just be playing on the White Sox next year too.
That's true. Hey, it's the off season. That's like the topic, and we're gonna have that for like probably a month, and then that's gonna go away after he signs. But today we're gonna be talking about the 2022 season. If the White Sox wasted a season, and if they will have that regret, or if there's any players expressing regret on the wasted season of 2022. We'll also be talking about the White Sox power outage. The dust has settled, and as Rick Hahn I think said, the body's cold now, so we can look back and see where the White Sox ended up power wise around the major leagues. And then finally we'll talk about the playoffs that start tomorrow. The White Sox should be in the wild card playoffs, but it's not. Well, I mean, I feel like I say that and that paints them as like a team that really got like left at the doorstep. 11 games back really doesn't feel left right there. Really brutal way for it to finish. But yeah, let's talk about 2022. Vinny, you wrote a recent article. There was a great quote from Liam Hendricks that we shared promoting the article today. What do we make of the 2022 season now that the dust has settled?
I mean, they blew it. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think the process is still trying to figure out why, or at least how, we saw what happened. We all watched it. They weren't good. It's still kind of a mystery as to how a team with this much talent was set up to be among the best teams in the American League, ended up nowhere near that caliber. So, I don't know if we're ever going to find out until everybody shows up to spring training next year and they're like, oh, yeah, we spent a whole offseason looking at it and this is what the problem was and we have it fixed, I'm sure is what they'll say. But, there's a number of reasons. They're all over the field. They're in all aspects. But I think the biggest one that jumps out to me is Liam Hendricks telling us the mindset was wrong. They came into the season thinking it was going to be easy, thinking that they were going to roll to another AL Central title. And then, it was about getting a better result than they had last year in the playoffs. But as of the beginning of the year, it was, okay, well, we won the Central by double-digit games last year, so of course we're going to do that again. The division's bad. Everybody's telling us so. They basically bought into their own hype. It really backfired on them. And that's the first thing they've got to learn, is they've got to not take these things for granted, because they saw what a team that wasn't taking it for granted did. And that's what the Cleveland Guardians did, was run all over them. They have the same talented roster that made us all say, oh, they're going to the World Series or whatever at the beginning of the year. Those guys, we know they can do something. That they're capable of still getting this thing on the right track. But here we are in the middle of this supposed window where they were going to be championship contenders. And 1 year of that window has been completely, to use the word Rick Hahn used, squandered.
And I think that it is the juxtaposition between the two teams that Vinny brought up. The Chicago White Sox, where you have multiple people, not just Liam Hendricks from your article the other day, but earlier when you talked to Jose Abreu and it was bordering on cocky instead of the confidence of what you should have. And they came into this year thinking that just throw their jock out to the field and the AL Central will take care of itself. They had bigger fish to fry in the Yankees, the Astros, and other teams at the top of the AL. But now you look at the teams and the dust has settled. The White Sox coming into this year were top 10 probably in most people's minds as a team for power rankings. Now they're the eighth best team in the American League. That's how badly they played this year. It wasn't just that Cleveland played so well. The White Sox played really terribly, and they are on the second half, on the bottom half of the AL standings. That's really bad. And for any team to be there, much less a team that was supposed to be a championship contender. So the mindset needs to be set next year that we're hungry. We haven't won anything, because winning an AL Central championship in 2021 doesn't mean a damn thing. You can hang the banner up, but no one's checking for that. No one's wearing a AL championship hat or AL Central championship hat around the city. They wear World Series championship hats. They, at very least, were American League champion hats, since the White Sox have had very few of those championships. So to go into next year with a different mindset needs to be established. And it starts, I think, with the Jose Abreu situation being settled. And then more importantly, the manager situation settled so that person can get the psychology of all these players and get their minds right for when they're playing baseball. All they have to worry about is executing.
Yeah, I don't know about American League Central hats, but I have a souvenir cup that says 2022 American League Central Division, you know, champs. So, I mean, I proudly sip, you know, Diet Cokes out of that. So, you know, there's some souvenir out there that proudly promotes the AL Central championship that they won 2021. But yeah, I think you summed it up well in your article, Vinny, about how Rick Hahn, it's not going to be this linear step. You know, this was definitely a step down this year. This wasn't supposed to be the elevation year by year, step by step rebuild that it was supposed to be. This was definitely a step back. And for the guy who authored Mired in Mediocrity, now looking at Tankathon, Herb, you said that they were bad, but it really even felt like they weren't bad enough. Like if they were going to have a season where they weren't going to make the playoffs and they were going to, you know, talk about the injuries that kind of held them back, 81-81 just kind of stinks because you're not even in a good spot for the MLB draft lottery that was just instated. Sox have the 15th best odds for the draft lottery that's going to be ended up taking around, I think, at the winter meetings. So it's interesting just to think, too, that like they just kind of were there the entire year. I think I saw a stat that it was, I think it was Jay Cutta, you know, in the last 10 games, the Sox were 5-5. Last 20 games, they were 10-10. Last 30 games, they were 15-15. Last 25 games, they were, or 50 games, they were 25-25, right? They really have just stayed at this 500 level over the past 190 games. And yeah, I really don't know what to make of it because I don't know how strong of a contention window it is now. I don't know if you really have that strong faith. And it really felt like Rick Hahn was saying that as well in his press conference, where they need to reinstill the faith in the fans and all those fans that Tony La Russa talked about energizing that stadium in game three of the 2021 ALDS. You know, Rick Hahn now the next year after is talking about restoring faith in those fans or restoring the faith in those fans. And it's just kind of a shocking turn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I nobody thought that this was going to be the case. I mean, you brought it up a little bit. I don't remember exactly which press session it was with Rick Hahn last year, but where he mentioned, you know, it'd be nice if we didn't have to be that, you know, okay, we made the playoffs and then the next year we win the division. And then the next year we win a playoff series. And the next year we make, you know, we're a true World Series contender. It'd be nice if, you know, we could just go right to the top where we could win the World Series next year. And it was really on nobody's mind that they could go the other way, that they could go backwards. And I mean, it just goes to show you how shocking these results were compared to what we were expecting at the beginning of the season. And it's something that I think all of them know. They've all lived with it for the last 6 months, and I don't think they need a reminder. You know, no matter how frustrated the fan base has been that entire time, people involved were certainly aware of reality. But yeah, it's now turned into, okay, we got this great window, everybody kick back and watch us contend every single year. To, yeah, do you? Because, you know, we just watched a season in which there was no contention whatsoever. Now, I am of the opinion that it certainly could be the case. This window could last a very long time. I hear people saying, oh my God, it's already closing. You know, I mean, guys, it just opened 2 years ago. It can't close right. It can't close if it hasn't been all the way open yet, I think is the interesting point there. But they need to prove that this is a team that's capable of doing that, because so far the closest they have come is very far away from the top contending teams in the American League. And that was in 2021 when they won a division. Yeah. Right now, they're nowhere near that stage even. So if this contention window where they can contend for a championship is going to happen, they got to show that they can contend for a championship. They haven't done it yet.
Yeah, they've had two tickets to ride. They've gotten to the postseason, and they've been, you know, on it. They've been able to take a few turns around, but they haven't been able to, you know, really enjoy the whole thing. But I do want to go to Shuo, who has a super chat, and maybe we can make this a little bit more relatable or have some more fun here. Shuo says, you ever buy Wagyu steaks and then forget to freeze them when you go out of town for a week? I don't have that. I have like a 24-year-old's budget, so I'm not buying Wagyu steaks. Gentlemen, do you have any feelings about buying Wagyu steaks and leaving them out of the freezer?
I don't know why you would buy Wagyu steaks and put them in the freezer in the first place. I mean, you
just go to a steakhouse.
You spend $100 on a steak. Let's make it tonight. You know, get it as fresh as you can. Put it on the grill for like a minute, other side a minute. Take it out. Get it ready. It's already buttery enough. And go ahead and eat. If you waste your Wagyu steak because you have such an out-of-town experience, like you have something to do so important to get out, Wagyu steak is not your biggest concern. Your biggest concern is why do you waste money? You could just give that to me.
Right. Hey,
just give me the 100 and I'll put it in my freezer.
Well, and here comes Schwo giving you some money, Herb. As you said, you got all the tips apparently from all these super chats. But he's dropping a super chat saying, if you had to pick a song to sum up the season, what would it be and why? Mine would be Complicated by Avril Lavigne. Do you guys have anyone want to take this baton first?
Yeah, I can take it if you want. The song that I like, one of the songs I like the most is a song called What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers. What a fool believes. Pretty much it's a song about unrequited love where one party, the man, is longing for this relationship he had back in the day with this lady, and this lady couldn't be bothered with him. She's only doing this to humor him, to meet up and such, and he thinks, okay, here comes the resparking of the relationship. But that girl couldn't think twice about him. And so this is what I think White Sox fans are feeling. Like, we love the White Sox, but doesn't feel like they, especially this year, loved us back. And they can do with or without us. And they're just meeting us up because we had a great past. And we're enjoying our time. And it's thinking like a platonic thing. And so that's why the White Sox are meeting up with us. But we don't want to commit to you. Come on now. Get out of here. And the guy is just longing every time. It's like, come on, please. Please, White Sox, love me back. And it hasn't happened yet.
Herb, you giving me Michael McDonald era Doobie Brothers?
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's the greatest awful. Michael McDonald. Just awful. That's the just greatest awful. Doobie Brothers.
The Doobie Brothers were a really good band, and then Michael McDonald came along. I'm gonna go with a joke. I'm not gonna go with an actual song here, but considering the 500 finish, how about anything by the average white band for the average White Sox? How about that?
Pretty not good. Too bad. It's just instrumental, right? I mean, there wasn't a loud a journey there. It was just kind of flat. You just kind of were there for the ride. I think, you know, there's no ups and downs with the average white band. I'm going to go with two. I have one joke. Just if Herb's going to go Doobie Brothers, I'll also go with a bad band and Dave Matthews. We were just wasting time. We could just go with Stay Wasting Time. I'm also going to go with You Imagine Me Sipping Champagne from Your Boot. For a taste of your elegant pride, I may be going to hell in a bucket, babe, but at least I'm enjoying the ride. If enjoy the ride is going to be the entire, motto of this season, why not just go with the Grateful Dead and make it a pleasant season? Because it wasn't, I think, on the field. But you could also go Wasting Light by the Foo Fighters if we want to keep going with the waste motto here. I think we did a good job.
Sure.
I'll pat myself on the back. Why not? I think that Liam did sum up the feelings, I think, of what this team has done. Unless we fix what we have as a player group, what we went through this year, it doesn't matter who comes in as the next manager. It won't fix itself. There needs to be some soul searching. There needs to be a lot of going through what we struggled at, what we succeeded at, and what we can work on better, what we need to take away from what we did. There's a lot of things that we did this year that weren't very good, and there's a lot of things this year that we really need to improve on. But the only way to look in on it is that you look in yourself and realize what you struggled at. There's a lot of things we could work on as individuals, but unless you work on them individually, you're not going to get that cohesive comeback as a team moment when you get to spring training next year. And that's what you're talking about, Vinny. I think first off, I think it's interesting that Liam too, I think there's the comments that we really didn't touch upon yet about him wanting to strike people out because he didn't trust the defense. That's really summing it up right there. But I think that's what he's talking about is, you know, I need to be able to trust my teammates more. And I think that he's talking about them coming together as a team. He also made the comments that they need an authoritarian as manager. We haven't really mentioned some of that, but what do we think we can be parsing from Liam Hendricks here and what the vibe should be set for the 2023 White Sox so they don't waste another season?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's the guy who pointed this whole, he's the guy who's doing this whole explanation that the mindset was wrong. And I think, you know, a lot of people make their own opinions of what's going on inside guys' heads based on what they see through the TV, and you can't do that. Guys were working very hard this year to try to win baseball games, but when you think it's going to be easy and then it's not easy and then you lose and then everybody's mad, and how are you going to get back? You know what I mean? How are you going to get back to that change the game attitude that they had for the 2 years prior? I don't think that, that was maybe impossible to do, in the middle of this season, once they got to a certain point. They know now that it's not easy. And I think they're going to have a lot of the same guys on this team. There'll be some changes for sure, but there's going to be a lot of the same guys coming back. And they shouldn't have had to learn this lesson this way, but they did. And I think now that they better use it, because there's no excuse for them to not know what's coming. You know what I mean? Like, they better show up to spring training ready to go and ready to fight, because they have the talent to do it. They have the talent to be better than the Guardians. And that's not a knock at the Guardians. That's a compliment of the roster that the White Sox put together. But you can have all the talent in the world, and if you just show up thinking that it's going to click for you because you're at the ballpark, it's not going to happen. And it didn't happen. And they should know that now. I think a lot of the things that Liam said were just get better. The mental thing is very important, and it's more important. You know what I mean? But the mental thing might have to do with some of that defense. You know what I mean? The mental thing might have to do with some of the personal struggles that Liam talked about for himself. I mean, he was not leaving himself out of the firing squad there. He was talking about all the struggles that he had in certain situations or against certain kinds of opponents. Walked, you know, what, twice as many guys as he did the year before, which he was not at all happy about. Lucas Giolito knows the kind of season he had. He wasn't happy about it, and he's going to take the offseason to fix it. So these guys have to go get better physically and at baseball, you know, and then these guys have to go and get better mentally as well. And I think it makes for a critical offseason, and I'm not just talking about what we're going to be talking about all winter, which is, oh, what trades is Rick Hahn going to make? What signings is Rick Hahn going to make? It's going to be in every one of those guys' heads too. And it's on every one of those guys' shoulders to make the most of this offseason, because they certainly didn't make the most of this season.
Liam says that he wants an authoritarian. And when I'm thinking of an authoritarian, especially in a baseball manager sense, I'm thinking a guy who leads with an iron fist, which I don't necessarily know if grown men need that, you know, a guy who is just like, hey, it's my way, the highway type of way. But a person, I think, that understands that men and women are not the same. Like, I mean, all men and all humans are different. And so sometimes you need an arm around the shoulder. Sometimes you need the proverbial kick in the ass. And he needs to parse out which players need that at which times of the season. And so I would be looking for, firstly, a baseball person out there who knows the game, knows what to get the best out of the player when they do go up to the bat or take the mound. And then secondly, you need a person to just understand the man who is the player and get the best out of that person's life. And if you get the best out of the person's life, then, you know, the game will be the simple part. And so I think they need a person that understands psychology of man and also how to get the best results out of his players and the coaches who are below him. Because I hope the coach gets a chance to have his coaching staff filled out with people that he knows and he's familiar with.
Herb, we talked to Robert Murray of FanSided yesterday, and you said, you know, who's the one guy that you would hire if you had the opportunity to? And he said Carlos Beltran. And Carlos Beltran was reportedly a bully for people buying into the 2017 Astros system. So if you want an authoritarian, maybe he could bully you into it. And then also, you know, trying to get the best out of guys, you know, that's trying to get the edge, the ultimate edge right there is taking it to the next level. Shout out to Eli. Jumping in with a super chat here. He's still up. What time is it over in Israel?
I think we established it was either 6 or 7 hours ahead of us. So it'd okay. be 10 or 11.
It's nighttime. You know, wrap it 11. Up. So good night, Eli. Hope you have a lovely nighttime. What's
Happy
up,
New Year, Eli. Happy New Year. Enjoy it.
Yom Kippur.
Yes, sir.
All right. Joey, is there a greeting we should know for Yom Kippur or no?
Yes, but I only know the one for Rosh Hashanah. Sorry, look how the thing is right over your face.
Yeah.
Lashana Tova will get you by with any of your Jewish friends.
Okay. All right. So, thank you, Joey, for chiming in. appreciate that. And we'll talk a little bit more about the manager and maybe what this team needs and what this team could possibly try to find in the offseason to exceed and take that next step as a team. And we do appreciate that support, Eli. CHGO Sports asking Eli, what's your question? Eli's just here to hang out. Eli vibes. I mean, come on, we know Eli. Eli's our good friend. But let's talk about PointsBet. This football season, PointsBet bring you a better way to bet live on games. games, which means before this ad is over, you can place a live same game parlay. You can bet on the next drive to be a touchdown and cash out on your live second half over bet. With PointsBet, you have access to more live football markets than ever before. You can build the perfect live same game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more. You can choose the next outcome of the drive and next points with PointsBet's lightning bets. So whether you're on the move or on the couch, do it live on PointsBet. You can download the PointsBet app today and sign up with code CHGO to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. And if you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And our next partner is our good friends over at Game Time. We spent many games at the Guaranteed Rate Field because of Game Time. They are the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. I will probably be using it this offseason for tickets to concerts and shows. There's no more games for at least me as a White Sox fan to go to. But if you're a Bulls fan, if you're a Blackhawks fan, if you're a Bears fan, if you're a Chicago fan looking to see some Chicago sports, Game Time.
The band. Fan of the band Chicago.
The band Chicago as well. Saturday in the park. Probably won't be hearing that in a park this winter, but maybe Saturday in an arena.
Just walk out to a park with your headphones in, play Saturday in the park, and then go see the show wherever it might be.
They have to go to the concert, though. That's
what thing. I'm saying. You pregame with your headphones in the park. So, you're getting the full experience of Saturday in the park, and then you go to the show after that.
There you go. And hey, maybe you're going to a college football game and it's a park, and they could play it there. They play it at Guaranteed Rate Field every Saturday, so maybe you want to go to Pat Ryan Field and it's Saturday at the field. Anyways, Game Time is where you should buy your tickets. If you ever dreamed of sitting 50-yard line, courtside, maybe on the actual glass, the biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy. Jay and Mario and Greg are all dealing with preseason hockey right now, so the regular season is coming up. Matt and Dave are freaking out watching the Bulls preseason game while we were wrapping up game 161. So the Bulls season's coming around. It's created by the fans for the fans. It will guarantee the lowest price. So this is the best way for you as a fan to get into the hottest event out there. And even that, like we mentioned, it's concerts as well. I was looking for the Pavement reunion show back in September, and they had super cheap deals on floor seats at the Chicago Theater. I mean, like, what could be better? So if you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. You can join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. All right, guys, let's go into some of these graphics that I put together. Joey, let's pull up the one for 2022 that just has the rankings. We talked a lot about the home run drought and the power drought for the Sox, and we mentioned that Andrew Vaughn hitting 17 home runs. It's the first White Sox team to not have a 20 home run plus player since 1990. The Sox ended up finishing fifth in batting average in the major leagues on base percentage. They finished tied for 18th. Slugging percentage, they finished tied 18th with the Cubs. Their isolated power, that subtracts slugging percentage from average, it was 131, which was 26th in the majors. They were first in singles, only team in the major leagues to have 1,000 singles this year. They were 12th, tied for 12th in doubles with 272. They were 29th in baseball in triples. I don't think that matters too much. They were tied for 22nd in baseball in home runs with 149 with the Colorado Rockies. Shout out to DNVR. And then they were tied for 16th, so they were bottom half of the league in weighted runs created plus at 99, so just below average. MLB average for weighted runs created plus is 100. They were tied with the Guardians for weighted runs created plus. You can kind of just look at that stat and say, Guardians got better pitching, they got better defense, they are faster on the bases. It's pretty clear why they won the division by 11 games.
But it's also pretty clear why the White Sox didn't do what they were supposed to do, right? I mean, I think, we talk about a lot of the areas on this team that need improvement. You talk about team defense and team speed and some of the fundamental stuff that we've been seeing a lot of and complaining about all year, right? All that, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of the White Sox, considering the way this roster was put together, can be acceptable or at an acceptable level if the power and the offense did what it was supposed to do. And that's why I still believe, even though now the finding a manager certainly is the top of the offseason priority list, at least until they do so. But when it comes to tinkering with this roster, nothing is more important than getting that power back. Because if this group is going to be mostly intact moving forward, all those guys who have hit for power in the past – really got to start hitting for power again, or else the White Sox are going to be in a very similar situation next year as they were this year. It's what Rick Hahn kept harping on in his end of season press conference, was the offensive approach went away and they need to get back to it. And we'll maybe figure out one day why. I asked why, and he said, basically, we're going to spend the offseason trying to figure out why. Well, the main thing is they've got to start hitting more home runs, or basically they got to hit the home runs they were supposed to hit, is what it comes down to. And then if you got a guy dropping a lot of fly balls in left field, so be it, because at least the ball's going over the wall when you guys are at the bat.
Yeah, if the left fielder's walking to every ball because he has a bum knee, that so be it, as long as he hits 30 home runs. Herb, I'm going to jump the question that I ended up asking Vinny and the both of you to go to Schwo's Super Chat here. Appreciate the Super Chats, Schwo. He said, Sox get Judge, but Adam and Drake LaRoche co-manage. Would you take that deal?
Yes.
Why?
What? Because
Judge is a superior offensive talent that would hugely supersede whatever Adam and Drake LaRoche do. Yes, they're
plays defense too.
I do not necessarily like Adam LaRoche, and Drake has just turned to an adult, so I don't know the adult. But I'm sure with all the information that Adam has learned through his life, his dad Dave played in the league, and he knows baseball. At the very least, he can give me major league average managing by just throwing up a decent lineup and having to live and listen to Rick Hahn guide him in the right spots. You get Judge, that automatically takes over whatever you get as the manager. As you said, if your left fielder's just limping to the ball, but he's hitting 30 home runs, you're like, hey, I'll live with that. But Judge is hitting 62, and he's playing some superior defense too. So he's getting you value that is way over what the manager might take away from you.
What can someone, Herb, in your opinion, that has been on an undercover mission to Asia, you know, how can he apply that to managing a Major League Baseball team, do you think?
He cannot. He can start talking about Bible stories and how great he is and trying to save sex traffickers or people who are getting sex trafficked and act like he's the savior of everybody.
Or that he's James Bond for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't think he was a great person. But, you know, I've hoped in these years he's got some reflection within him and that he can actually, you know, relate to these people who are in the clubhouse to get the job done. If it means I get Aaron Judge,
I think he owns a meat company, Herb. Pretty sure that's what he's been doing since he retired.
Like is
he
deer owns a meat company. That he kills?
Yeah, something like that.
Are we talking about Adam LaRoche here?
Yeah.
Okay. I absolutely blacked. I guess I blacked out because this.
You need to read his Wikipedia page or something.
Oh, boy, I do. Drake LaRoche is married.
Congratulations to him.
But I found that. I was looking. I felt weird Googling Drake LaRoche because he was a child. But 5 years later,
you
he's
understand
married.
That
NBC
like,
Sports Chicago.
They homeschooled their kids. They used to take. That's why he was in the clubhouse. They used to take him everywhere. He was in the clubhouse all the time. You know. I don't necessarily care about Christianity and all that stuff, but he does a little bit. So they'll be bringing that to the clubhouse a lot.
Did he take Drake on the undercover trip too?
Mm-mm.
No, on the secret agent mission.
I forgot which former baseball player he took with him that time.
Boyer? Was it Blaine Andy? Boyer? Blaine Boyer? Is
that sounds
right.
Yeah.
Was it Andy LaRoche, his brother?
Andy LaRoche is. I don't think
is
he was
Andy
as much.
Crazy too.
I don't know. Okay. Is Dave LaRoche crazy? I think also former White Sox Dave LaRoche. That's his dad. So I think he has the baseball smarts to get the job done, especially if we get Aaron Judge. He puts him in the lineup 162 times. I think we'll find a way to win some games.
Dave LaRoche was not a White Sox. He was a Cub in 73 to 74. So he's probably a teammate.
He knows the city.
He's been around. Andy LaRoche. There's no personal bio on Andy LaRoche, so I don't think there's anything crazy about him, but I got to figure out about Adam. No, I know.
But forget Andy. He's
okay.
Dumbass.
All right. We only care about one third of the LaRoche.
Let's see some more of your graphics, Sean.
Okay. Thank you. I was trying to make it get in there. But I actually want to go to a different question. This is from Anthony Oderwall. He said, can you ask Vinny? So I'm going to ask Vinny when ideally they will hire a manager after the World Series. So, I mean, there's rules around this. If you try to Google manager rules, manager hiring rules, managing hiring rules, MLB, not a lot comes up, but I'm pretty sure that they can have discussions with potential candidates and even candidates who currently are in the playoffs, but they cannot announce an actual manager until after the World Series. I think the Cubs kind of got into a little bit of trouble in 2016 for doing this with Joe Maddon. But what insight can you shed?
I mean, I would imagine they'd want to get it done as soon as possible while at the same time, you know, making sure they're thorough. And of course, we're talking about how they want, they say they want it to go. You know what I mean? We're still in that mode now where they have to prove themselves again, that they can go through, follow through on what Rick Hahn said they want this process to be, because the last time they did it, they obviously went in a vastly different direction from everything that he laid out. But you know, I would imagine that if he is going to do what he said he wanted to do and use this as an opportunity to hear new ideas and get new insight, outside perspectives that aren't necessarily the same ones that they've heard about within this organization for years and years and years, they would be wise to interview a whole lot of people, wouldn't they? You know what I mean? There's a fact-finding element to this opportunity, if you want to call it that, that isn't just make sure you find the one right guy. There can be a secondary priority, right? And that's talking to different people, learning about how other organizations do things. And, you know, maybe you talk to the guy who's the bench coach for the Tampa Bay Rays, and you go, oh, well, there's a lot of interesting things that the Rays do that are very different than what everybody else does. We're going to go with somebody else, but thank you for putting that in our mind, that kind of thing. I think that in a way you can view this as that sort of opportunity, and they would, you know, be not making the most of that opportunity perhaps if they were to wrap it up in a week or something, like, which is what happened last time. So, I think this time around, you're probably going to see them, talk to a lot of different people. And if they're smart, they'll talk to a lot of people on winning organizations who are currently in the playoffs. Maybe that means having to fly down for an off day or something like that. But it certainly would strike me as something that we're not going to hear a lot about, with the exception of those guys who are always breaking the news, the national guys. They're the ones who are going to know that. There was another comment, perhaps from the same commenter there, that was like, you know, do they tell the media this kind of stuff? Absolutely not. We are not going to hear a word of it until the press conference is held to announce who this managerial hire is going to be.
Right. And I do want to just follow up, too, because we're talking about the offense. We're talking about the power outage. I know fans want to find a scapegoat and they will look to the bench and they will look to Frank Minichino. I know Rick Hahn had some comments about Frank Minichino at the postseason press conference. Didn't talk about many people, but he did bring up Frank Minichino. I think he even called him Frankie.
Yeah, basically was, you know, I think it was my question, why was this offense so much different than it was in years past? Was the message different? Were they getting a different, you know, were they hearing something different from the coaching staff? Rick Hahn said no. He thought that the message was the same as it has been. Of course, did not provide a reason that he believed as to why the power numbers were so different than they were in years past. But he said, listen, Frank Minichino is the guy who oversaw the offense, or was at least in the position of hitting coach when the offense was really, really good. 2020, they were one of the more impressive and powerful offenses in baseball. And even last year, they had a very nice offensive season with a lot of individual players having good years as well. Very much not the case this year. You know, sometimes in baseball, that means that a scapegoat is found and a scapegoat is it loses their job. But also, perhaps the team has inside knowledge that we're not hearing about, and they are confident in Frank Minichino. All that being said, I think the person who's going to make the determination on whether Frank Minichino or anyone on that coaching staff, perhaps with the exception of Ethan Katz, who obviously has done a wonderful job, keeps their jobs, is going to be the managerial hire. And he's not probably going to have total reign. I'm sure the White Sox will, the White Sox brass that's currently in place will have their opinions and have their input as well. But certainly, according to Rick Hahn, they're not going to make any decisions on coaching staff for next year until the manager is hired.
And while you were answering, we got a great message here from Jose Luera. He said, hey guys, what's up? I just want to say you guys are great. And if I had any money, I would give you guys a super chat, which we appreciate. And then he followed up with a $5 super sticker. So very appreciate that, Jose. We're here for you guys, though. We're going to be here each and every day, each and every week, unless we have vacations or something. But like, two of us will be here at least. You know, you guys won't be left in the dust here. We're here for you guys. We really do appreciate when you guys give us those super chats. Those mean a lot to us because they are super, and we really do appreciate that. Jose, you were in here for all 162. Baseball was in here for all 162. Eli as well. Alexander. I mean, like, it's great seeing all these names pop up. And like I've said, these names are more ingrained into me than I think like some of my farther family member names. Like if you're a second cousin, third cousin, I definitely need to, you know, whisper who's that to my mom. And no offense, I just have a bad memory, but these people, I mean, I see them every day.
Exactly. They're part of our life, part of our family now, our CHGO family. That's what I like to say. I mean, we talk to these people literally every day, yeah, more than we do our second or third cousins. Probably talk to the second or third cousins like only when the family reunion comes around.
Twice a year, Christmas and Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's easier on Christmas because I just saw him at Thanksgiving. We're not sure, baseball toss, if Pito comes back. We're trying to figure that out. But let's look at some of the numbers over the past 4 years, where the Sox have ranked offensively and, you know, some of the things that Frank Minichino has done as the hitting coach. The Sox dating back to 2019. Joey, if we have this graph. Oh, there we go. Boom. Thank you. 2019, the Sox had 182 home runs. They were 25th in the majors. They also had an isolated power of 153. That was tied for 27th in the majors. They had a weighted runs created plus of 92. That was tied for 18th in the majors. Then they improved in 2020. We know that was a huge season for the Sox as they went 35-25. They have 96 home runs, which was third best in the major league. So they went from 25th to third. They had an isolated power of 192, going from tied for 27th to fifth. And they had a weighted runs created plus of 111. That was tied for seventh. And then in 2021, it was a good year as well. 190 home runs, tied for 19th. An isolated power of 166, tied for 13th. And a weighted runs created plus of 108. Shout out to the 108. That was fourth best in the major leagues. And then this year, 149 home runs. So you have a drop off there of about what? The math 41. Guy. Oh, yeah, 41. There you go. It was pretty easy. Herb said it in my head. Tied for 22nd, isolated power of 131. That was 26. So kind of going back to the 2019 days. And then weighted runs created plus of 99, tied for 16th. So middle of the pack. And I bring up tied for 16th, weighted runs created plus. The Sox, I think it was their isolated power last year, it was tied for with the Guardians. And you can kind of see that, you know, this year that falls off and, you know, Cleveland's pitching was still fantastic. And that's really where that edge is the White Sox weren't able to push themselves over that edge with those home runs. And to this point too, I have some names for you guys or numbers beyond this. We wanted to go into the, you know, White Sox haven't had a 20 home run hitter since 1990 or a player hit 20 home runs or less since 1990. 12 players have hit 40 plus home runs in a season. 52 players have hit 30 plus home runs in a season. 152 players have hit 20 home runs in a season. Miami had only a lower home run leader. Jesus Aguilar had 15. He had 16 total this year because he was DFA'd on August 26th by a Miami. So he was their home run leader and also DFA'd by the team. And I'll save this for later. But what, I mean, Herb, what do you make of this? I mean, it really just seems like this is where the Sox can really get a huge edge is if that power is able to return.
Firstly, you know, you don't like to use them, but injuries played a big part. I know they had injuries last year, too, but they seem to like sap the team this year more times than not. And then they didn't take advantage of balls in the zone. How many times did we be at the studio and you see a 2-0 pitch go over the middle when they're just taking it, or a 3-0 or 3-1 pitch, just taking it, not being aggressive in the counts that you've worked hard to get. And so the White Sox not taking advantage of those situations is just so frustrating for both them and us who are watching out to home. What, they have like two grand slams this year? That's piss poor.
Three, because Elvis Andrus had one off Nick Gordon.
Off the pitcher, yeah, or off the Nick Gordon. That's not great. And two home runs off a 3-0 count, that's not where you should be. You should be aggressive in those counts. If anything, I think teams knew the White Sox weren't going to be swinging at 3-1, 3-0 pitches. And so they would just pump over a fastball and know that it wouldn't get hurt that much. And the White Sox would work those counts out to get their pitch. And then when they did sometimes swing on 3-0 or sometimes swing on 2-0, they would foul it off because they had an approach going right field to the right center gap instead of, this is my pitch, I'm going to cheat on this ball and I'm going to air out this fastball. It was way too many times the White Sox were way late on fastballs, which they know the pitcher's velocity and they shouldn't have gotten past them. So they had a terrible approach at the plate where they didn't do the bare minimum to get the ball in the air, where they were, what, in the middle of the pack or high up in the pack of ground ball rate this year. That can't be happening with this team. This team was built for home runs. Ball hit in the air is what the White Sox need to do and take advantage of their stadium, especially with the power left-handed bat, where the White Sox have an advantage there over most teams if they come there, if they do get a power left-handed bat, because that porch in right field is very tasty for left-handed hitters.
And another thing we heard from Liam Hendricks that kind of plays into what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, you know, kind of thinking that last year would repeat itself over again just magically. The White Sox were not good at adjusting. You know, we always hear that you hear it a lot about individual players, but certainly it applies to teams too. You know, after you've been in the year for a league or the league for a year, or after you've, you know, established yourself as a certain kind of player, pitchers are going to pitch you different, or hitters are going to, you know, take a different approach with you if you're a pitcher, because they've figured it out. They're like, all right, that's what that guy does. Well, this is what I'm going to do against him. And the onus is then back on you to say, all right, if that's what you're going to do to me, this is what I'm going to do. And obviously the great players can make adjustments. They're not just going up there every day doing the exact same thing. They're adjusting from year to year, from game to game, from at bat to at bat. The White Sox didn't do a very good job of that this year, so said Liam Hendricks to us the other day. And again, it goes back to that same point, which is they came into the year and they said, well, this is what we did last year. Let's just do it again. Right. But the league figured it out. And mm-hmm. so the point isn't necessarily that the White Sox forgot how to do what they were doing. It's that they did not respond to the league figuring out what they were doing.
Well, and I think that's a lot of pressure on the players. And that's why, again, it's not just a player issue. It's not just a Tony issue. It's not just a Frank Minichino issue. It's not just a Rick Hahn issue. Like, it just seems like the whole organization didn't work together in 2020 to help these players. And I bring that up too, because there was a great piece back in April that I continue to think about on Baseball Prospectus from Robert Orr, where he talked about the Giants and how they got a lot of power and a lot of success in 2021, where they won 107 games by signing players that had certain profiles, right? Like, they would be very cognizant of, if they were going up against a sinker ball pitcher, well, we have, I think it was Darren Ruff, who has fantastic numbers against balls at his knees but can't hit a high fastball. Why would you put Darren Ruff in the lineup if, you know, he's going up against a four-seam fastball guy heavy? And then they brought in, I think, Austin Slater, who is more of a guy who hit at the top of the zone. You kind of see this with the guy who kept getting compared to Gallo in the Twin Series, Walner, right? Like, you can just kind of see that he has a very swing that's tailored to certain pitches. And I think you saw it a little bit as well with Josh Harrison and Elvis Andrus. Josh Harrison's a fantastic sinker ball hitter. You look at his run value by pitch, and all of them are negative again, except for sinker ballers, right? So he really likes it low in the zone. You saw a lot of his home runs were really, you know, low and middle in. And I think with Elvis Andrus, you saw a great just fastball hitter. Anything straight, he was going to be able to hit it and put a ton of power on. And I think that's just some of the edges that the Sox need to be able to find, is even if they, like, I just don't think the depth and the utilization of their depth was really to the best it could have been. And it's all about finding these certain edges. And, you know, I think that's a great point by Liam and that you bring up, is, you know, it's not just about what you're doing in the off season. Like, we could see Joe Kelly trying to add a changeup to his repertoire and breaking his window, right? But he's working on that, but he's not going to be working on his changeup during the season, because he's trying to keep his body tuned. He's trying to keep his body in a rhythm. He's trying to keep it in that same routine, right? He wants to not really throw this fine tune out of motor. So yeah, it's just, it's interesting the balance the Sox have to strike in 2023. Want to let you know about Pins and Aces. They're the official golf apparel of CHGO. I'm going to take a shot. You know, the White Sox are going to be golfing, and they'll be looking better in Pins and Aces gear this offseason, right? There's a lot of time for them to hit the links, gear up in some Pins and Aces gear, and they'll be out in Arizona on those beautiful links, and they'd be supporting a family-owned and golf apparel business. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and even their favorite beer sleeve in the offseason. Hey, maybe let loose. Use this innovative product that allows you to store 7 beers right inside your golf bag and keep drinks cold the entire round. I'm pretty sure you can bring this on a flight. So, hey, if you're going somewhere this off season with the boys, you're taking a boys trip, maybe to Arizona, you're taking a golf trip, buy this beer sleeve and you'll be able to keep your beers cold in that hot Arizona sun. Make sure you check out pinsandaces.com and choose and use code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com, P-I-N-S-A-N-D, aces, E-A-C-E-S.com, and use code CHGO to get 15% off your first order and receive free shipping. Let's wrap it up.
Is that John? Is that you or is that me? You're kind of sounding like a computer.
Your internet's a little sketchy there, Sean.
Oh, no. A little wonky. Uh-oh, Sean's dying.
Oh, no.
Oh, no,
all right, Sean's dying. Drive the bus, Herb.
Oh, I can, because we were going to do which teams that we'll be rooting for. There's Sean. He's coming back. Which teams in these Major League Baseball playoffs that we'll be rooting for, teams that are just meh, we can go either way with them, or teams that we will never root for. And I know you as a journalist, Vinny, don't have any root interest in any of these games, but as we get started, is there any teams that, more than any other team that you say, hey, if they win, that would be pretty cool?
Well, I'll say this. I think you have a good playoff field, or you have a good year. You're setting up for a good postseason where you can point to a lot of teams, if not every team, and say, there's the feel good story of them winning, or if it's not feel good, just there's the story. If they win, that's the story, and that'll be worth watching. I think I brought it up a week or two ago when we were talking about this, a similar topic, and sports, you can do kind of both ways, right? You can be entertained by the underdog making an unexpected run through a postseason field, or you can be entertained if you're the kind of person who values the regular season and you say the regular season was so great, it was so exciting, let's see the team that won the regular season prove that they can win it again in October. And sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Everything happens differently every year. There's a team that the White Sox saw a lot of this year, the Cleveland Guardians, who it would be wild to see if that style of play could lead to a World Series appearance or a World Series win against some of these teams who we know obviously are built to be the best team in baseball, whether it's the Dodgers or the Astros or the Yankees or the Braves. These, if one of those teams were to win the World Series, me personally, I'd go, all right, the regular season was correct. That those 6 months were for something because that one of those teams made it all the way to the end and proved that they were the best team, not just in October, but for this entire marathon. But it's also going to be fun, too, if the Seattle Mariners, in their first playoff appearance in two decades, can do something. The Toronto Blue Jays, with all their young talent, if they can do something. And there's plenty of other teams throughout the, both sides of the bracket that could apply to that category, be it, the Philadelphia Phillies, who haven't been to the postseason in a while or something like that. So, the New York Mets, who, had a very, very nice season, have some just incredible pitching on that team. But, feels like we haven't seen them win anything in a really long time. So I think there's a lot of good things that you could watch with any one of these teams should they make a big run. The question, I guess, is for you as the viewer, what do you find entertaining?
All right, Herb, as us, the viewer, Vinny has set us up nicely for this segment. So let's jump in. You want to take first crack at it and give us your picks for what's unwatchable or what would be what you would like to see, what you would be met on, and what you would be absolutely no to.
Okay. The first two teams that I've listed are the San Diego Padres playing versus the New York Mets. I will root for both of those teams. I'm more of a Padre fan, but I know the Padres are probably not long for this playoffs, specifically because the Mets have that juggernaut at the top of their rotation, and they have people who have been getting the job done. Now we'll see if Starling Marte will be available for these playoffs. If there is, it's much better for the Mets there. But I'll be rooting for those two teams individually. And also, I want the Mariners to do some work. I want the Mariners to actually get in the playoffs and finally, after 21 years, win a series and be going for them in the American League, because I think they do have enough to get the job done, to surprise some teams and say, okay, maybe the Mariners are the team that I should be rooting for because they have young talent in Rodriguez. They got people you want to cheer for in Castillo, Robbie Gray, maybe not so much Robbie Gray, but you got people who are good at their craft. And so, I'll be looking to cheer for them. And then the Toronto Blue Jays, I already talked about Alejandro Kirk. He's 20 years exactly younger than I am. and he looks exactly like I am body shape wise. So I'll be cheering for him because of kindred spirits. We are. I think he's my soulmate, and I love the country of Canada, and they're representing the whole country of Canada. And
shout out KPW.
Yeah, there hasn't been a winner, of course, since 1993 when the Toronto Blue Jays beat our Chicago White Sox and then went on to win the World Series. So those are the teams I'll be definitely rooting for. Sean, your teams that you'll be rooting for in these playoffs?
Yeah, we'll do it that way. I'll go Seattle. I think that one's very easy. Seattle, they haven't made the playoffs in 21 years. I have nothing against Seattle. I like their colorway. I like J-Rod. I like Luis Castillo. I like Robbie Ray. It's very easy to like that team. And Jerry DePoto is a madman, and he's tried to figure out the perfect Mariners roster, and I hope this is the right one for at least that city. They're very diehard sport fans out there. I'll be nice to you, Herb. I'll throw the San Diego Padres, I'm sure. And mainly I'm throwing in there because Fernando Tatis isn't on this team. So if they win the World Series, I really can't listen to any, like, it doesn't affect the James Shields conversation because he didn't affect that team at all. I mean, honestly, he hurt that team, if anything. So I'm for the San Diego Padres winning the World Series this year. I'll also throw Philly. I'm wearing the hat, but I think it's just too good. I was saying, sign Schwarber. He hits 40 home runs. It would have looked good if Kyle Schwarber was in a White Sox uniform. Would have looked good if Bryce Harper was in a White Sox uniform. Would have looked good if Zach Wheeler was in a White Sox uniform. Three players they could have got, and also you see how bad their defense is. Gives you hope that the White Sox, if they play bad defense next year, could still be in the playoffs. And then I'll also throw in the Mets in there as well. I think that it would just be funny if Buck Showalter won it, because I think I have a tweet out there that said if the Mets hire Buck Showalter, they go 72-90. They didn't do that. They didn't win the division. But if they won the World Series, I think I'd get dunked on for that one. And then finally, Toronto, KPW has supported us so much. So if that guy will be happy, I'll be happy. So shout out to KPW. What are your Mets, Herb?
Well, I know people are like weird that I say I would root for the Cleveland Guardians in the playoffs. Like, if every other team that I just listed are out of the playoffs and the Clevelands are still standing, the Guardians are still standing, I'll root for them. Multiple reasons. They play the game correctly. They play with bat to ball skills that are par excellence. They go first to third like no other team. They pitch well. They're kind of cocky. They took what the White Sox did and any perceived slight they felt is from the White Sox, and they took it as fuel for their fire. And I like that. I like the Terry Francona and his staff with Sandy Alomar Jr. are feeding the fire of, hey guys, they think that you're crap. And you saw the release that they had during their championship celebration. They're talking about White Sox things because they saw them as an enemy and used them as fuel. So I'll be happy. And I think it would also motivate the White Sox to get better if you have the Cleveland Guardians who either win the AL or win a series in the playoffs and or somehow win the World Series. That'll be good. A good motivating force for the White Sox to look up at them. The Phillies you just talked about, they're like the White Sox in the National League. So I'll like them. They got Kyle Schwarber, of course. The Braves, I went down to see that game down there, and they have everything they need to win another World Series. They are the reigning champions right now, and they caught up with the Mets and overtook their Mets. Mets finished with 101 wins. The Braves are just better, 102. They've just caught them up, and they have hitting and pitching. Young players getting the job done. That Michael Harris II is getting the job done. I love exactly what they're doing down there, and I wish the White Sox would run like that team. I think it's that Alex Anthopoulos down there doing a great job. And then the Rays, they do it with no money issue to most players. And once you make a lot of money, they send you off. But never, ever, ever, if the White Sox are offered a trade for a Ray, turn it down. Rays former players, for the most part, don't work out. They know what they're doing when they're giving up on a player. And so they do a lot of great things. And I would love to see them be finally get over the threshold and win the World Series. So they're kind of meh for me. If they don't, it should work out that way because they don't spend any money. But if they do, a new era will start where a really small market team got the job done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd be meh on Tampa Bay. I don't love the way that they spend, but also, I mean, they've been doing it the right way. They've been winning for a while now. They're just rewarding their winning ways at this point. I mean, they've been making World Series since 2008. They've been a contender really my entire baseball watching career. So they really haven't been a sad organization. They really figure things out down in Tampa Bay. I'm with you on Atlanta. They're kind of a different team than they were last year, so it doesn't really affect me too much. Like, I think it's cool that they have such an influx of young players, but they also have Ozzie Albies returning from injury. Ronald Acuna wasn't a huge part of that team last year. And then the big thing of Freddie Freeman not being there. I think it's an interesting storyline for the Atlanta Braves. So I wouldn't mind if they repeated, but also the chop needs to go. So I don't really know if I want to reward the chop for 2 years in a row with a World Series ring. And then the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I get it. They're the Death Star. They spent a ton of money, but also they only have one World Series, and it was in the 60-game season. And I think most fans, if you're a White Sox fan, will look at the 2020 season and be like, oh, well, see, I told you it didn't mean anything. Well, then what? Are you going to look at the Dodgers and say, oh, they won a World Series, it doesn't mean anything? I'd be fine if the Dodgers won the World Series in 2022. Absolutely not. Let's just have this discussion. I'll go Houston, St. Louis, New York. The Yankees have 27 World Series. They don't need another one. Houston are cheaters. And also, I don't want Dusty Baker to get a ring, so he has to come back in 2023. So Joe Espada's the White Sox coach. We'll talk about that next week. But then here's the big thing, Herb. You mentioned St. Louis and Cleveland. We didn't mention St. Louis, but you mentioned Cleveland and saying, you know, you wouldn't care. We have Casey putting on her thing, and I get it. She's from Ohio. And even Luke Stuckmeyer putting Cleveland in there would love to see. I am respecting Cubs fans here and putting St. Louis in my absolutely not thing because I know that it would pain them. And here's the thing. If you're going to say who are Chicagoans rooting for, you are basically ignoring the South Side if you are picking the Guardians or want to see the Guardians win the World Series. I don't care if they've done it the right way, if they play well, if they're this young team. I don't care. They play in my division. They're Cleveland. I don't want Cleveland to win anything at all. So you know what? I mean, they don't deserve to be rewarded. I was calling them cheap before the season. So why would I be like, yeah, go win, you cheap team? No, they're cheap and I hate them and they're ugly and they have bad uniforms and their name's stupid and their old name was stupid. They're rivals. Isn't that what sports about?
That seems like kind of a biased opinion, Sean. I've got to be honest.
Oh yeah.
We pretty much
are clouded in a mystery.
Have the same absolutely nots, except for I would have the Dodgers in mind. Just they've won a lot of championships, won a bunch of divisions. As a San Diego Padres fan, secondly, I can't love the Dodgers. I do love Marcus Lynn Betts. He's an awesome right fielder. He's one of the best that played there, and I love that he's playing so well to stick it to the Boston Red Sox for, you know, drafting him, cultivating him, getting him prepared for the major leagues, winning MVP there, and like, when it's time to pay him, like, get your ass out of here. We want Alex Verdugo over here. Yeah. So that's the only I'll root for him and very few other people. But St. Louis is going to be really hard to not root for because they got my man Jose Quintana over there.
Ooh, that's true.
It's tough. He's had a really great year. I love to have him back on the White Sox next year. Come on, Q. But yeah, Houston, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and St. Louis. I just don't like St. Louis's whole vibe. We already talked the other day about their pizza's terrible. The city's terrible. The fans think they're the smartest things of all time. Go ahead. Be smart. Go ahead and get dismissed in that first round by the Phillies.
it's kind of, you know, with the White Sox, talk shit, get hit. Also, with that graphic there, I'm all for the wild cards, apparently, because I got Seattle, San Diego, Philadelphia, and Toronto in there. Kind of just saying, I'm for this new format. Anything you guys watching for this playoffs or any storyline that sticks out to you that might be extra intriguing? Vinny, I'll start with you.
I saw it in the comments, and it would be kind of cool to see Albert Pujols keep doing what Albert Pujols has been doing for the second half of the season, carry that into October and hit some really meaningful home runs in his send off. A historic baseball sense for him, and to get to that plateau, it would be kind of cool to see that going on. And I got to be honest with you guys. I just don't agree with you on the Guardians. I think if the Guardians were to make a run, that would be really fun from that underdog perspective. I mean, you talked about the payroll, but it's not even the payroll, right? It's the style of play. And I think everybody, you know, think if this was the NCAA tournament, right? And it's like, all right, you got the team from Ohio. They're no competition for, you know, all those high recruits that went to Duke and North Carolina and Kansas, but the scrappy team from Ohio, they're gonna play like Gene Hackman's Hoosiers, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna defeat the big bad guys. If you like that storyline in sports, then that's the team in this playoff field that that you got to keep an eye on. That's Cleveland.
I don't know. I mean, it's Seattle. I think Seattle is more of a long shot.
Seattle's got a bunch of really well, but they got a lot of really good guys. Is my point. Like, you know, if you're just going to turn on the TV now and say, "Oh, the Mariners haven't paid attention to them since they had Griffey and Edgar Martinez," then okay. But you know, they went out and made a lot of moves to load up this team with really good players. You know, the Guardians not so much, but they've done it anyway, and they've won a division anyway.
Guardians though, in 2016, Terry was still the manager, J-Ram was still on there, so I mean, there's still some cast-offs. I mean, last time you saw the Mariners in the playoffs, it was Ichiro. I think not Ken Griffey Jr., but I think A-Rod, John Olerud. I mean, like there were some guys on that team.
They had the best record in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, 116, and then lost in the first round. Herb, I think Albert Pujols.
In the ALCS, they lost to the Yankees in the second round.
My bad.
ALCS.
Albert Pujols is a great storyline to watch. Any other one you're watching, or you want to wrap it up?
No, not really. I just want to see good baseball and the White Sox to take from this World Series what they should, which is to make it to this level, you probably have to pitch like the White Sox did. They're middle of the road starting rotation. Good, like I think top 10 in the ERA. So you can get wins right there if you stay at the same level. And that's with Lucas Giolito being a part of this team. That's with Dallas Keuchel being a part of this team for, 13 starts. So they were pretty good in pitching. Now they got to take away, okay, what is that team that's going to get to the World Series do? Do they hit the ball over the fence? Cool. We need to do that more. Or is it going to be Cleveland, where a team that just puts bat to ball and just batters you with 20 hits in a game and then does the right thing on the bases, and then when they get the ball hit to them, they pick it up and throw it to first? What is the prevailing thing that happens in this World Series tournament that gets you to the next level? And if they take what they need to take from that and, you know, apply it to their team, I think they'll be well next year, and going into this offseason, they'll be position to get into the 2023 playoffs.
That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23 if you're looking for some Minnesota suggestions. That's where you should hit him up, at EchnerWall23 on Twitter.
Vinny has some too, probably.
Yeah, Vinny's got some as well. He just went there. He's the most recent person on this podcast to go to Minnesota. He could tell you one hell of a place to get a blueberry donut.
I would say the Blue Note, I believe that's in St. Paul. I had a Juicy Lucy there, which was my favorite Juicy Lucy. Better than Matt's, better than 5A Club.
There you go.
I know it's sacrilege.
Am I going next?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If you want a cocktail,
you go to Volstead's Emporium in Uptown in Minneapolis.
And I've never been to Minnesota, so I didn't have anyone. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO beat writer. His most recent piece is talking about the White Sox squandering this season and was our headline topic. If you want to read more in-depth and read all those quotes word for word in Vinny's article, check out allchgo.com. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter, at Sean_W_Anderson. I have another home run stat that I didn't get to that I'll tweet out there. So if you want to see a White Sox home run stat that might make you cry, check out Sean at Sean _W_.
That Anderson. Went from a great tease to just a terrible one.
Oh, well, it's not a lot of happy news with the Sox. I'm not Herbie Sunshine. I'm Downer Sean. Anyways, we'll talk to you guys on Sunday, and that will do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. Thank you to Joey for your production, and go Sox.